we continue our conversation throughout the evening about the awful events at Mercy, we return a little bit to our scheduled programming and want to welcome into studio our friends from Drawl. We have Justin Stadler and I'm sorry, Alette, I didn't ask for your last name. How are you doing?
Valencia, good.
Alette Valencia?
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank you guys for bringing in some snacks. We've been covering this and having conversations, and there is something about comfort food. I know Drawl is described as a place that is a new American with a southern accent. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the concept and your restaurant, Justin.
Honestly, it's all about family and getting together with your friends and honestly just being in a comfortable environment where you can have fun and enjoy good food.
Right. Where are you from originally, Justin?
I'm actually from Michigan.
Oh, from Michigan. Mm-hmm. What brought you to Chicago?
Culinary school.
Okay.
Back in 2007.
Not a bad place to come to learn mm-hmm. how to do some cooking. I love that. What drew you to this kind of, this sort of palette of this American with Southern drawl?
I worked at a restaurant called The Southern for a long time.
Okay, that'll do it.
Being there pretty much got me excited about that style of food. I've just wanted to keep doing it ever since.
How about you, Alette? Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Hawaii.
Hello.
So
wow.
It's definitely
quite a change.
But Chicago, I've been here about 10 years now, so it's definitely home.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to hear that. now are you part of the partnership in the restaurant?
I am. Yes. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. He and I started this. We actually worked together at the Southern a while back and kind of found our way throughout the city of working at different places and then found this project and kind of did it together.
Now, where is this restaurant located?
It's Fullerton and Clark. So right on the intersection just north of Fullerton.
I'm trying to think. I'm driving toward Lakeshore Drive. What else? So, well, Drawl is at the intersection of Fullerton and Clark. That's all you need to know about that. And you have now you said that you were drawn to Southern cooking. What would you say sort of exemplifies? I mean, because I think of like collard greens and fat back and things like that. What sort of elements do you use to describe?
Just that hearty cooking, like a fried chicken. Mac and cheese, like those are classic staples.
Andrea, are those a couple of your go-to comfort foods too?
Mac and cheese, number one. Yeah. I will never turn that down.
Yeah.
Even just out of the box, like the old-fashioned kind. Not this kind, obviously, is much better. But
well, that's the thing is that I don't know when mac and cheese became such a delicacy because people really. I remember when I was a kid, I used to love putting cherry tomatoes and hot sauce on mine.
You can throw all kinds of things in mac and cheese.
Yeah, make it yours. What's your favorite way to eat the mac and cheese?
I always like it with our smoked brisket or maybe some pork shoulder, but I always do that for myself.
Right, just make that work for you,
yeah.
Hubby. What's one of your favorite things on your menu, Alette?
Well, our whiskey list for one. No, but as far as the dinner menu, he makes a great short rib. A lot of the things on the Drawl menu you'll see is very nostalgic and very family forward. So you get a lot of like, maybe not necessarily all Southern staples, but a little twist on it as well.
Sure.
So things like a pork chop and short rib and yeah, it's delicious.
Well, you mentioned the whiskey. You have a whiskey room.
We do.
And do you do pairings? Do you let people know like what might go
absolutely
with, you know, a heartier meal?
And, Oh, yeah. We do a tasting every Thursday. We do a whiskey 101. So basically, we come in 5 to 7. You get a complimentary tasting. And it's basically just featured distilleries off of our list.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really approachable way to learn about whiskey where our reps just kind of come in, myself, we talk about what we taste, what we know about the distillery, and just kind of get our neighbors involved with it.
What made you guys decide to pair, I mean, have sort of expand the idea of pairing whiskey as part of the experience at Drawl?
It's just, it kind of lends itself to bourbon, Southern, Kentucky bourbon. It kind of goes hand in hand.
That'll do it. Well, Justin, tell us a little bit about being in the kitchen and what goes into making things, knowing what you want to drive the menu, the taste that you want to incorporate.
I like to incorporate flavors that remind me of home and also have that Southern flair to them.
Sure.
It's a lot of work.
You know? I can imagine. Andre, have you had a chance to try some of the different spreads that they brought in?
No, but I'm salivating.
I know.
Well, I'm about to come in there and taste a little bit.
I'm not going to eat your pecan pie.
Please don't.
I won't.
Okay, thank you.
They brought me my own. I'll share it with
Michael. That's my comfort food for tonight.
Is it now, as far as pies go, I mean, pecan pie is pretty high on the list for folks when it comes to, one, comfort food, but also what they think of when they think of Southern food, isn't it, Justin?
Yes, absolutely.
What is it? Why is that? What makes it such a staple in Southern kitchens? Just there, I think it's a sweetness. I think it's also
and the bourbon,
the hardiness.
We put a little bourbon in our pecan pie, so kind of ties it all together with everything that we're doing.
And that makes a lot of sense. Now, Justin, you said you moved here from Michigan. How much different was your idea of what Chicago was going to be like entering that culinary scene? What did you encounter?
It was much more intense than I had anticipated.
Oh, really?
From the types of restaurants I had worked in back home. Coming here.
And Alette, how do we, how is it to break into the restaurant market here in Chicago?
I mean, there's anywhere you go, there's a ton of restaurants, any block that you walk into. But I've had the, you know, ability to work with some really great chefs in the past and just kind of keep on trekking and trying to, you know, keep working at the best places.
And I'm guessing you might want to brag about your brunch too, because that's something that Chicago
is really.
We do
have brunch, yeah.
What? Tell us a little bit about the brunch.
So it's Saturdays and Sundays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. We have a lot of Southern classics like country fried steak. we've got some fried chicken Benedict, which has been a popular menu item.
Okay.
Just what's your other Benedict that you have, Justin?
Oh, the fried green tomato Benedict is also very popular.
I'm sorry, what's happening?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm obsessed with a good fried green tomato. And in part, of course, Andre, did you ever read the book or did you see the movie?
I saw the movie and read the book.
Yes.
And I have a whole, I don't even want to say bin, like bowl of green tomatoes. Because my garden this year, oh my gosh, it completely peaked in September, October. And I was still pulling off green tomatoes. Well, and now they're starting to, well, some are starting to turn red, but I still have a whole bunch of green ones that I don't know what to do with.
Highly recommend doing some fried green tomatoes.
For sure.
Now, for yours, Justin, do you use like a corn? Because I use cornmeal sometimes. Sometimes I use flour. I make a lot of fried green tomatoes.
But I like to do a combination of a little flour and cornmeal.
Cornmeal. Cause
just to get that right texture.
That crisp, right? That crunch. Have you had fried green tomatoes, Andrea?
Yes, they're very good.
Are they?
I have to put a lot of different spices on them and a lot of salt.
A lot of salt to get.
I do.
The book when it came out, it actually has the recipes in the back of the book. So I because it wasn't necessarily available that often in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I hear there's a Chicago based restaurant that has them, I get very
excited.
Come
and get it.
Yeah,
I gotta. For our salt content, we'll put a little feta cheese on it, so it kind of
blends
it all together.
Andrea,
I'm definitely coming in there now.
Andrea,
she said the words to my keys to my heart.
How do you say it?
Feta.
There you go. See, now you also incorporate some Greek food in there, don't you?
There you go. Yeah.
What are some of your favorite things on the menu?
On the menu, we do have a hummingbird cake, which is delicious.
What?
So that just
that's not made out of that's not made out of hummingbirds.
No.
Okay, I was gonna say
it's a cake similar to carrot cake. It's
like
a spice cake, but instead of your carrots and walnuts, we use pineapple and banana and pecan.
Wonderful. Now, how long has Draw been open?
It's about 7 months.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, welcome to the Chicago landscape.
Thank you.
And what's like some of the Twitter handles? Is it Draw?
At Draw Chicago.
At Draw Chicago. Mm-hmm. And your website?
www.drawchicago.com.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to dig into this pecan pie. I want to thank Justin and Alette for joining us tonight and look forward to seeing more of this wonderful adventure you started on.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. More in a moment on 720 WGN. As we discuss the tragic events of the day, it is incredible to see how a city comes together. Obviously, we are watching the police department pay tribute to one of their own, and many hearts are broken all over the city of Chicago, and we offer our condolences and our sympathies to the family members of those who have died today, their friends, their coworkers, everyone. And I was just talking a moment ago to our friend Ryan Shea from the House of Blues about how when we come together and help each other, we run into these moments where you want to figure out a way to help. And you guys have a fundraiser coming up at the House of Blues that people can really help a family that has helped others in the past. How are you doing tonight, Ryan?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Thank you so much for coming. I always, you know, you're very calming and soothing soul. Andre, do you ever, you know, like people who just walk in, you're like, I feel better already.
Ryan's the best. In fact, you know, I just felt the warmth when I walked in.
Yeah.
I love Ryan.
You bring good energy.
I love you guys.
Thank you. And we love the House of Blues and everything you guys do over there.
Yeah. So we have a thing going on tomorrow night called the Chicago Blues Spectacular. And what it is this, it's this great collection of Chicago blues artists that are coming together to help raise some money for a young boy who was hit by a car, a distracted driver walking home from school, and really messed up his leg really badly. So he is a seventh grader in middle school and has to be in a wheelchair. He's got several surgeries coming up. They have to basically reconstruct his leg. And his mother is a friend of mine and a neighbor and is very tied into the Chicago blues community. She works at Rosa's Lounge. And anytime something it needs to be done in the blues community, she stands up and does it. When some struggling older blues guys need some help, she gives them a helping hand, helps with fundraisers. We've had a Erica Tarr Davis passed away a couple of years ago, and she led the fundraiser to pay for the burial expenses and things like that. So when this happened to her son, all these artists came out and said, we want to help you. And so we're putting this show together. They're selling the tickets, and the money will go towards to help them out and help with these expenses. And the thing about it is it's an amazing show. So the level of blues guys that have come together for this is outstanding.
Well, this is an incredible lineup you guys have. Lil Ed, The Kinsey Report, Ronnie Baker Brooks. I don't know Ronnie, but I know his brother Wayne.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll be hanging out with Wayne tomorrow night as well.
Oh, that's great.
Lurie Bell, John Primer, Lynn Jordan, Ann Harris, Taronzo Cannon, Jimmy Burns, Corey Dennis, and Marty Salmon. Marty Salmon is Buddy Guy's keyboard player. Mm-hmm. One of the cool things about this is if you buy the tickets on Eventbrite, if you buy the tickets tonight and then you show up tomorrow before 8 o'clock, you're entered to win a signed Buddy Guy guitar.
Oh,
for
how
this
great
event.
Is that?
So it's worth it just for that.
Yeah, the show is at, the doors open at 7. The show is at 8 o'clock. Again, that is tomorrow night, Tuesday, November 20th. I'm one of those people who, like, you could tell me it's tomorrow, and I'm still like, what day is that? Because I need the date to know what else I have going on.
Yep.
So that's tomorrow, the 20th. You can go to bluesbenefit.eventbrite.com for ticket information. And as Ryan mentioned, guests who show up before 8 p.m. have a raffle ticket for a signed Buddy Guy guitar.
Yeah.
What a great thing to have in your collection.
That'll be great. Yeah. Buddy's been very supportive on this, too. And there's going to be a couple other artists that aren't even on the list because for contractual reasons, we're not allowed to say that they're coming. But, I mean, this is a show you don't want to miss. It's going to be a great show.
No doubt about it. Andre, I know that, I've been to the House of Blues brunch and other events. Have you had a chance to go to one of these fundraisers as well?
No, I have not been to one of these, but I absolutely wanted to check out the ABBA one, and I have been to the gospel brunch at Ryan's so invitation. It was phenomenal. Yeah. It was so much. Talk about uplifting.
Yeah.
And you eat pretty good, too.
We could all use a little bit of that right now.
Yeah. Yeah. A little comfort food.
You eat well, and you're so uplifted when you leave.
Yep. And when I saw that Bloody Mary bar, that was dazzling.
That was
I was quite impressed with it. There was they had their own risers for each element of the Bloody Marys that you wanted.
Go
to
big
make.
Or go home, you know.
Go big or go home. So this is going to be again. We're talking to Ryan Shea, who is the VP of operations for the House of Blues, and this awful accident where a 12-year-old boy, Jameson, was hit by a car. He was crossing the street as he was on his way home from school in Oak Park, and he was critically injured in the accident. He has spent 9 days in the pediatric intensive care unit and sustained multiple injuries, will need more surgeries to come, and a bone transplant before he's able to walk again.
Yeah.
And the blues community is coming together at the House of Blues tomorrow night.
Patty, on this day in Oak Park, it was I can't remember if it was a Friday or what, three different kids got hit by a car that day coming home from the same school in Oak Park. So don't text and drive. Pay attention all the time, but especially around schools. God. I mean, that's terrible.
It's awful. Yeah. Well, especially, I mean, they're on their way home, you know, just...
trying to be a kid.
Trying to be a kid. And people aren't paying attention. It's so hard because it does feel like it's starting to get away from us, doesn't it?
Where it does.
You know, people are just very lackadaisical about paying attention. They just kind of figure, well, you know, I've done it this long, I've done it this far, I've been fine before, and it's not just about you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just about you, and that's the thing is with driving is we all feel as though we're in our personal space, we can do whatever we want. That's why we get so mad when someone cuts us off, because we take it personally.
Right.
Right. So we feel as though we should be able to do whatever we want on our phones. I don't know. It's sad to hear that this little boy and the others that were hit that day. So the House of Blues has partnered with an incredible lineup to perform Chicago Blues Legends and Shining Stars. So tell us about the Shining Stars.
Well, we've got guys like, you know, Corey Dennison I'm a huge fan of. Corey has some great energy. You got to check this guy out. Jerry Hunt is in his band as well. Guy King has been around for a while, but I still consider him one of the younger guys. And then you've got classic guys like Jimmy Burns, the Hoochie Man. He's a character in itself. And for I got to be honest with you, for $35, like, even if this wasn't a benefit, this would be so worthwhile, because you're not going to get this amount of talent in one room on one show for that price. So it really is very cool for these guys to stop what they're doing and come out and do this.
And it is an all ages show, which is appropriate because of the young man who was hit.
Yeah. There's a kid's price. I think Jameson has a bunch of his friends that are going to be there, which will be really cool for him.
Yep.
And we wanted families to be able to come to this.
Of course.
It'll be great.
And I believe many kids have, and I'm guessing they're adults in their lives, have Wednesday off. So tomorrow night's a kind of a great night.
Yeah, it's a free day.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure that Griffin is, but I'm not sure about other kids.
I know the Oak Park schools are closed on Wednesday. That's why we figured that would be a pretty good night.
Yeah. And, you know, you go out tomorrow because Wednesday, all bets are off. How crazy does it get on the day before Thanksgiving at the House of Blues?
It gets a little nuts.
A little hectic.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Do you go out? Have you ever gone out, Andrea, on the day before Thanksgiving?
Oh, always as a kid. Now, not so much. Now,
yeah, I hide.
Now I kind of, yeah, exactly. Now I'm like, okay, how much sleep can I get before Thanksgiving? But, oh, yeah, that was like the biggest going out night of the year.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
Probably up until I was like 30. Yeah. Maybe 35.
I didn't realize it until I started doing stand-up comedy. I was a kid when I started doing stand-up.
Yeah.
But those, like, the biggest nights of the year would be the Wednesday. And it was Downtown Zanies. I think they've got John Caponera. He's been doing the Thanksgiving shows there every year.
And so is that a good night for you, or is it an amateur night before Thanksgiving?
It's been a while since I've had, like, Thanksgiving. There are a couple of weird odd nights that are the biggest nights of the year. One is the Thanksgiving, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and then the Sunday before any three-day holiday weekend, right? This, like, the Sunday before Martin Luther King Day, or before Memorial, for some reason, like, people just go nuts on those.
Those are bonus days. It's like another day was added to the calendar.
Well, that's why when I was a kid, I never got Wednesday off. Did you get Wednesday off before Thanksgiving? I don't remember getting that day.
I feel
off,
like,
no?
We had school 7 days a week when I was a kid.
Right.
I don't remember.
You did, Ryan.
Yes, you definitely
that's
did.
That's how I got so smart.
And that's right.
And you walked to school uphill both ways.
Both ways.
Yeah. I know that we have some questions coming in about the shooting. We're going to continue our conversation throughout the evening. Andrea has all of the official information in regards to the victims and other people who are on site. And we will continue our conversation. Yeah. Andrea's got coverage of that as well. I believe the procession for Officer Samuel Jimenez continues. I think they might have arrived.
They have just arrived. They are arriving as we speak. The honor guard,
Shea brought from the House of Blues. Listener texted in, don't think of it as your cheat day. Think of it as your treat day. See, thank you from the 301. Always, do you like that one? You're going to use that now too, Ryan, aren't
you? Yeah, that's a way better way to think about it.
It's my treat day. And then I have another treat and then another treat after that. Coming up after the news, we're going to hang out and continue our conversation. You're more than welcome always to join us. 312-981-7200. We'll switch gears a little again. Paul Farvar is going to join us in studio. I want to ask folks if they've been getting folks on their front porch as the aldermanic race and the mayoral race heats up. People are still getting signatures. They have a few more days to submit that, and I want to know if you guys are... I'll ask you when we come back. It's time now for our news. You know you want to be listening to the Steve Cochran Show weekday mornings at 720 as he celebrates the most valuable person on the planet on 720 WGN. Your news is... Oh, wait, by the way, smart speakers, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Here with your news is Andrea Darlis.
A gunman opened fire at Mercy Hospital, killing a police officer and two hospital employees. Police say the attack began this afternoon with a domestic dispute and exploded into a firefight with law enforcement inside the medical center. This was an emotional Mayor Emanuel tonight.
I ask each of us to hold our children, our loved ones, all that closer.
28-year-old Chicago police officer Samuel Jimenez was killed while trying to stop the shooter, as was Dr. Tamara O'Neill, who police say might have been that shooter's intended target. This is Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson says the incident may have started with gunfire in the parking lot before moving into the hospital.
There's a gunfire in the hospital. One other female staff member was struck by gunfire, fatally. During that exchange, one of our officers that responded was also fatally wounded. by the offender.
A pharmaceutical assistant also killed in that shooting. Again, police say that O'Neill was believed to be the intended target by her ex-fiance, who then went inside and continued shooting. Friends are remembering O'Neill tonight as someone who had a big heart. They say she was 1 year outside of her residency. Meanwhile, again, the officer killed in that shooting, Officer Samuel Jimenez, leaves behind a wife and three children. In some other news, a Cook County sheriff's officer was also stabbed today while trying to apprehend a man. WGN's Ryan Burrow has that story.
The Cook County Sheriff's Office says the officer was trying to apprehend a man who had been AWOL for 12 days from the emergency medicine residency. During the apprehension on the escape charge near the 4,000 block of State Street, the man identified as Jovan Brewer stabbed the officer. At that point, another officer fired his weapon, neither the officer nor the suspect suffering life-threatening injuries. Ryan Burrow, WGN News.
And meanwhile, we heard tonight from John O'Malley, a U.S. Marshal Security Specialist, describing to WGN-TV what patients and doctors likely in the hospital and in both situations encountered when the gunman reportedly ran inside of the ER.
Your first instinct is to just freeze right in place, but people have to get it through their mind that you have to take some action. Assess the situation, control your emotions, and take action.
Stay with WGN Radio throughout the night and the overnight hours and in the morning as well as we continue to following this shooting at Mercy Hospital. Traffic, sports, and weather next on WGN.
I'm Amy Arrett, founder of Madison Reed, a hair color company I named after my daughter. It's very meaningful to me when I hear customers talk about how Madison Reed at-home hair color has changed their lives. Here's Vicki, one of our very first customers.
Coloring my own hair is easier than I ever imagined. The best part? I no longer have to sit in a salon and pay over $100 to have this done. Now I color it when it's convenient for me, and it takes less than an hour. People compliment me on how great my color is, and my hair is incredibly soft and healthy looking.
Experience beautiful, multidimensional, ammonia-free, salon-quality color for under $25. Join the hundreds of thousands of women who have tried and loved Madison Reed. Find your perfect shade at madison-reed.com and get 10% off plus free shipping on your first color kit. Use code TOP. That's code TOP. Try it. Love it. That's the beauty of Madison Reed.
Win a new car every Friday at Majestic Star Casino. Five Fridays, five cars, five chances to drive home in a new Chevy Traverse, Cruze, Colorado, Equinox, or Tahoe. Plus hundreds in promo cash. It's a giveaway like no other. Don't miss this one-of-a-kind event. Gear up for the November Car Day giveaway every Friday at Majestic Star Casino. Visit MajesticStarCasino.com for details. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
As followers of Jesus Christ, we know that no one party has a corner on the Kingdom of God agenda.
Join Dan Meyer, senior pastor from Christ Church of Oak Brook, this Sunday at 5:30 a.m. on Love Changes Life.
The old song, United We Stand, has been increasingly replaced by a new anthem, I Can't Stand You. And this ought to concern all of us.
This Sunday at 5:30 a.m. on Love Changes Life.
Drip, drip, drip. Has that been the sound you hear when you try to fall asleep at night? If so, your leaky faucet is costing you more than just a good night's sleep. It's costing your hard-earned money to go right down the drain. So don't wait. Call the experts at ABC Plumbing, Sewer, Heating, Cooling, and Electric to have it done now and done right. Book your appointment today at 4abc.com. That's the number 4abc.com and consider it done.
WGN Sports. Blackhawks play right here on 720 WGN tomorrow, that Wednesday night at 5:30 is the pregame. Faceoff at 6 o'clock with John and Troy on 720 WGN and WGNRadio.com. WGN traffic, everything moving along at posted speeds. The only thing that we had a little, some delays earlier was the procession that for Officer Jimenez that was going from the University of Chicago Hospital down to the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office that closed portions of the Dan Ryan, which have now been reopened between 47th and Roosevelt Road. However, the local lanes will remain closed from 47th until Roosevelt until further notice. And on the Stevenson, the off-ramp has been reopened now at Mercy Hospital at 55 inbound and King Drive. And the WGN Chicago Weather Center forecast for the overnight hours. We'll see some snow flurries moving in, temperatures falling into the low 30s. Right now it's 32 at O'Hare, 33 at Midway, and 34 along the lakefront. Next news update will be at 10:30. I'm Andrea Darlis, and this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
State Showcase Studio, and we will continue to share information as we learn more. Andrea anchoring tonight, as she does every night, making sure that we are informed. And we're returning a little bit back to what we had planned this evening. And it strikes me that as we welcome our guests on the line from Navy Pier, or the spokesperson for Navy Pier, when my son Griffin came home from school today and I had to explain what had happened at a hospital, I realized you also want to make sure that your kids have all the fun things in their lives and continue to enjoy the great aspects and elements of Chicago. And that's why I wanted to invite on the air the spokesperson for Navy Pier, Payal Patel. Hi, Payal. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, I'm doing well. How are you?
Very well, thank you. This is one of my favorite things to do with my kids every single year. I'm not sure if my boys were like maybe, I want to say they were like maybe 2 and 4. So I want to say I've been going for about 12 years. How long has Winter Wonderfest been going on at Navy Pier?
This will be the 18th year, believe it or not. So
what?
It has been a long-standing tradition for many Chicago families and families from elsewhere as well. We welcome people from all over the country and the world around this time.
It is, I think, one of my favorite. There's so many parts of it that are my favorite, but I really, I get a little bit jealous, I'll be honest, with the folks that work there. I don't know if they really are having a good time or they're that good at performing, but the reason I'm jealous is that it's something I wish I had been able to do when I was in high school and college, was be a part of this incredible event. Tell us a little bit about the folks that work there.
Oh my gosh, our staff enjoys working there so much. I mean, how could you not, right? It's essentially a winter wonderland that you're stepping into, and there are so many, you know, attractions and activities, and it's very lively. It's filled with holiday spirit. What's not to like about it?
Andrea, I don't know how many times you've had a chance, because they change it every single year.
Oh, I absolutely love it. It's the first time that my godson ever put on ice skates.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Was it the Winter Wonderfest?
Yes, it was 2 years ago, and he was scared to death. And by the end, he's like, I said, come on, time to go. He went, no, I want to still skate.
How fun.
We
love hearing
fun.
That.
Yeah. I have to say, I think that might have been Griffin's first time ice skating, too.
Yeah.
But because I'm so bad at it, that I think I've blocked the memory of falling all over the ice with my son. But I do have the photos, because you guys have the photographers there. Tell us a little bit about the ice skating rink and all the elements around there.
Yeah, oh my gosh, that warms my heart so much to hear that, you know, Navy Pier's really famous tradition, Winter Wonderfest, has been longstanding, you know, cherished memory for so many people. And so thanks for sharing that. But yeah, the indoor ice skating rink is a very popular attraction. It's always, you know, filled with people, whether you're an amateur skater or, you know, you'll see some people who really know their way around the ice skating rink, but it's just such a wonderful attraction. But that's not all that we've got. You know, we've got everything for kind of everybody, from the young ones. We have inflatables for them. And then we've got the Polar Extreme obstacle course. We've got a Polar Ice Peak climbing wall that's been around just for a couple of years, and people really enjoy doing that rock climbing on that attraction. And then we've got everything from the Cookie Cottage to, you know, pictures with Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus.
How cool. I love the cookie making. And I remember one year you had the snowball throwing contest, but it was Nerf snowballs.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. They told me to leave because it's just for the kids.
Yeah. I mean, it's for anyone. I mean, if you want to get in there, get in there.
Yeah, I've never been turned away from any. The only place that you know, the big kids like us can't play, Andrea, is with the small kids area. Which I was so sad when Declan grew out of that, because he just loved.
Know.
There's a gumball machine one in there, I think, that he liked the most.
There is, yes.
Yeah,
yeah, there really is something for everybody. And this year, we're actually going to be adding aerial artists who are going to drop from the ceiling, and we're calling them the Sugar Plums. So literally, you'll have sugar plums dancing over your heads.
I also want to point out that from our experience, I have a child who has special needs, and I'm not sure what the training has been like, but you guys do a great job of attending to those who maybe have some trouble waiting in line or have some special considerations every single time, because he loves like the bouncy houses and the slides and things like that. And people have been just so incredibly respectful there. It's a place to have fun for everybody, don't you think, Pyle?
Oh, it sure is, yes. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because actually for the first time this year, we're introducing Sensory Friendly a Day, where we'll be inviting people from the special needs community to come and experience the third Banquet to Wonderfest. Yeah, and we'll be very cognizant of, you know, the sensory friendly aspects of the whole Fifth Third Banquet to Wonderfest experience. You know, we'll be dimming certain lights or turning them off completely. And we've worked with a company called Infiniteach to really cater to this community. So we're looking forward to rolling that out this year.
Oh, thank you for that. That's wonderful, because one of the hard parts is explaining that, because Declan doesn't understand the idea of wait. He's verbally challenged. And the folks that work there have always been so kind and considerate. So this is wonderful that you're expanding it to a whole night of folks who have sensory issues.
Yes. We take a lot of pride in trying to, be mindful of inclusivity and diversity. And so we're excited to introduce this program this year.
Now, this is something, I don't know if this has happened in the other years previously. In addition to access to the Fifth Third Bank Winter Wonderfest, every ticket purchase will include, this is happening annual, a complimentary pass to the iconic 200-foot tall centennial wheel. Really?
Yeah, so this will be the second year that we're doing that. We just received such great feedback last year to include our popular Centennial Wheel ticket as part of the purchase for Fifth Third Bank Winter Wonderfest ticket. And, why not? When you're on the pier, make a whole day of it. You can take a stroll down the Fifth Third Bank Family Pavilion, which has been recently renovated, and go on up to Pier Park, ride the wheel, and around the time that we kick off Fifth Third Bank Winter Wonderfest, we'll also be introducing a couple of really cool art installations that you can also visit. So we're trying to make a full experience, a full day for people who truly come all the way out to the pier, and why not try out a little bit of everything, especially the iconic attraction.
And tell us a little bit about Cheer at the Pier, because this sounds like something maybe Andrea and I need to show up for.
We would welcome your attendance there for sure. So Cheer at the Pier, it's the first ever preview night of Fifth Third Bank Winter Wonderfest that it's going to serve as a fundraiser for Navy Pier's free year-round public programs. And it's being hosted by Navy Pier's Associate Board, and they're in their inaugural year as an Associate Board. And so now, we've added this fundraising aspect, which allows Navy Pier to offer these really great arts and cultural and educational programs year-round. Everything from the festivals we put on in the summer, the quinceañera celebrations for families, who might not be able to afford a quinceañera celebration, and just all this wonderful programming. And so that's really what this is going to underwrite.
It all sounds like an amazing event once a year. I want to congratulate you and everyone at Navy Pier, Pyle, to the work that goes into this. I know it's a culmination of a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it sure is. And I neglected to mention that Cheer at the Pier is on Thursday, November 29th from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. Uh-huh. And those tickets are still available on sale at Navy Pier's website and navypier.org. And then the tickets for the rest of the event is also now on sale and available. And so we kick off from November 30th and we go all the way through January 6th.
5 weeks of wonder, of Winter Wonderfest.
It's
the Fifth Third Bank Winter Wonderfest at Navy Pier. It's going to be at the Navy Pier's Festival Hall. If you've never been, you will not be disappointed. It is wonderful for everyone of all ages. And if you have been there before, you know that every year they change it up, whether it's the trees from around the world with the different themes. Is there a specific theme for the trees this year?
There's no one particular theme. You'll notice that each tree has a different theme. In the time that I've been at the pier, I've seen everything from a Star Wars tree to a Batman Superman tree.
Right. And the Cubs tree. The Chicago Cubs tree. Oh, that's my favorite.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. That was the year that they won the championship that we had a tree dedicated to the team. So, it's a surprise. So, come on down and come check out the trees and the different types of decorations and ornaments that are on it. It's different every year.
Wonderful. And is the best place to go, navypier.org, for more information?
That's correct.
NavyPier.org. Oh, Payal, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And thank you
for having me.
We wish you a wonderful, I used to call it Wonderland, so I know it's Wonderfest. Jen Kramer was always like, it's Winter Wonderfest. We wish you a wonderful Wonderfest. Thank you, Payal.
Thank you. Have a nice day. I hope to see you there.
We will. Thank you, thank you. More after this on 720 WGN. It is a strange evening, and we also had a moment become aware that the eyes of the world are on us as a shooting unfolds in the city of Chicago at a hospital, no less, and a police officer lost his life, as well as a doctor of the ER and a pharmacist technician. And we continue to have these conversations, 312-981-7200. If you want to join us in studio, we have our good friend Ryan Shea, who's the vice president of operations for the House of Blues, and comedian Paul Farvar Esquire, also a fill-in host here and host of the Nightside on occasion, including Friday night with Dr. John Duffy. And you just, Andre, I don't know if you watch Man of the People, but Paul was just on Saturday night's episode.
I saw a picture. I didn't get to see your episode.
I was just, I wasn't on screen. I was warm up for the show.
Oh, you were warm up? That's cool.
But I'm working with Pat on Wednesday. I'm hosting his show. He's doing a comedy hour. I'm hosting it at the Laugh Factory.
He is absolutely hilarious.
Oh, he's very funny.
So good.
Oh, my God.
So good.
So talented.
Horrible person individually, but so funny. Right. Like off.
Not true.
He seems like he's so nice, but literally the minute you're off stage, so difficult.
He works so hard. And the work that he does in fundraising, too, for the organization that helps people like his wife. We love the work that he does. And I'm so glad that you were a part of that and will hopefully continue to be. And Andrea, I was just thinking about our city and how much, you know, people are reaching out and they want to like come together and have a place to talk about so many things that are going on. Mm-hmm. Of course, a lot of condolences coming in for the families of Dr. Tamara O'Neill and Officer Samuel Jimenez for the work that they both did and the lives that they lost today is unbearable for so many people.
It is. It's an awful story from start to finish about the shooter was reportedly the ex-fiance of the doctor who was shot and killed, Tamara O'Neill. The officer, as we've been mentioning, 28-year-old Samuel Jimenez, 28 years old. He had just completed his probationary period. Mm-hmm. He just was graduated from the academy and was on that probationary period. They're on the probationary for 16 to 18 months. So he was a full-fledged police officer, only on the department for just nearly 2 years, leaves behind a wife and 4 children.
Incredibly sad today. And I know that you know, as we find out more in the days to come, one of the conversations that we've had on occasion on this show, not so much in the last few months, but when you are in a relationship that feels unsafe, and sometimes it's just a matter of trusting your instincts, of trusting your gut, of telling the people in your life. And here's the thing, though, with those who are abusers, they tend to separate you. They tend to isolate you from the people that you would turn to rely on and ask for help in different situations. Paul, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where, I mean, what would you say to, like, if you had a friend that said, you know, my boyfriend's harassing me, would you tell them to, like, maybe talk to HR or?
I've had that happen a lot of times, and I always tell people to pursue legal, as much legal protection as you can, whether it's contacting the police, getting, or as a protection when that's accurate to do or appropriate. There's other appropriate measures to contact with the courts you can do. At least if it's a work-related thing, you can contact work, HR, like you said. And sometimes it's, I have a friend right now dealing with the harassment in their building and just making sure the building is aware of the issue and security measures that can be taken.
Right.
At least to get them on alert, you know, they could put a picture, say, watch out for this thing. You just got to talk to as many people as you can. That's from a legal perspective. That's all you can really do. And speak up, talk to your friends, make sure people are aware of it.
Definitely talk to friends. Yeah. Mention it to someone.
And Ryan, I don't mean to put you on the spot here as far as like what it's like for, you know, maybe if you had an employee, because I worked at a place where I worked at a bar called Grizzly's Lodge on Lincoln Avenue. And I was dating somebody who I had a very volatile relationship with. And he came in one time to yell at me and I got in trouble. Right. She was like, this is a place of work. You need to keep your personal life separate. So I was afraid to say anything because at one point he did threaten to kill me and kill himself. And I ended up, but I had a friend at the, that worked at the bar who also was a mutual friend. And he went and talked, he had to talk to Tom for 8 hours just sitting there while, you know, drinking or crying or whatever to keep him from hurting me or himself. And, but I was afraid because my place of, you know, business, my, where I work told me, you know, they punished me for it. So I don't know if there are protocols in different places of business to say, hey, you know, let us know if there's an issue. Do you guys have anything like that? I don't mean to put you on the spot.
Yeah, well, I think that puts the person in a really tough spot, but you have to, it's always better to say something, right?
Right.
I mean, the work thing you can figure out later. But I think that, you know, as an employer, you don't want that nonsense coming into work, obviously. So you want to do whatever you can to not let that happen. But
right.
you have, if you're feeling unsafe, you got to tell. You
right.
got to tell your boss. You got to say, look, something's amiss, and then, you know, we then have that responsibility to find a way for everybody to be safe, because it's not just that employee at that point. It's the rest
everybody.
Of our staff and the guests in your building and everything else is all becomes affected by that.
But the thing is, like, I didn't even know that I was in danger until he said it. Right. So all the other times, all the other arguments were just arguments. Right. So I don't think that people realize that something can escalate until perhaps in a situation like this where it's too late.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what's so terrifying and resulting in tragedy today. I know, Paul, we talk a lot about relationships, whether it's on.
Yeah.
But it is one of those things where you wonder, like, what is that? What makes somebody not able to accept reality, right? What is that tipping point for someone, right? Because emotions just kind of get away from you sometimes.
It's so emotionally charged. I think there are times where people, it's like temporary insanity,
right?
It could, I don't know enough about this situation and what that was caused, but sometimes it's just something tragic. It's the way people react is not healthy, and you can't always predict that.
And, right. you know, and what I guess the humbling thing that comes out of all of this is the stories that we're starting to hear
yes.
about the ER doctor who was, well, this was in the ER, but one of the doctors was in an actual operating room and put the patient, you know, underneath, kind of, you know, put himself over the patient, and different stories about people saying, come on in here, hide in here. And then the people outside, the police were evacuating them very quickly, and they were saying, we were listening to everything the police were telling us to do. They got us out quickly and safely and prevented it could have been a mass, multiple shootings.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that the three did lose their lives, of course.
I mean, and it's happening at a hospital. I mean, that's
right.
It's so bizarre that, you know, the way I heard about it is CNN was in the background and I saw Chicago. And I was like, what is going on at a hospital? What happened? And then to see that it's a shooting at a hospital.
Right.
I mean, that's just
in our backyard.
Right. Well, not even, forget that it's a hospital. Like,
yeah.
Where else? What is going to, like, it's just so bizarre that this is something that we've come to just accept, and it's happening all the time, and it's disheartening.
Let's take a break here. Our conversation continues in just a moment. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is the number to text or call us anytime you want to join the conversation. I want to thank all of our incredible journalists here at WGN Radio bringing this story to you. Andrea, I know this is a long night for you, and I want to thank you for so much for some great work.
Oh, absolutely. And Ryan and Domati, I have been following this since it happened as well, and mm-hmm. we have to give them props, and Judy
absolutely.
For anchoring. You know, it's very difficult reporting on a story that just affects so many people, and it just touches so many people, especially something this horrible that happened. As Paul said, at a hospital in our own backyard.
Right, and we're going to continue to cover this and talk about it. There will be more details in the days to come, and I know people want answers. They want to know what they can do to stay safe. They want to know where did things fall short? But it also sounds as though, you know, as hard as it is to hear, because there is no luck involved or no good luck involved when you lose three innocent people,
right.
when you lose right. the lives of the pharmacist who was very young, 25 years old.
And she had just graduated mm-hmm. from Purdue. Her name is Dana Less. And then the doctor, the ER doctor, was Tamara O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
And she was believed to be the intended target by her former fiancé.
And Officer Samuel Jimenez.
Yes.
And we mourn with the city tonight. And it's one of those things where, you know, it is, the mayor mentioned this, and I thought that the mayor, that the Mayor Emanuel, the president of the Fraternal Order of Police, Kevin Graham, mm-hmm. and the chief superintendent of the police department, Eddie Johnson, did a great job in because it's hard, you know, this, whatever you think about them in any given day, this is a day where you come together and stand with each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And the mayor had mentioned, Thanksgiving, and, there is that moment where you go, yeah, there's going to be an empty chair at your celebrations this year.
Absolutely.
And checking in with Dr. Duffy and Jen Zanotti about, you know, trying to take stock, trying to process this. Also, you know, gratitude, practicing gratitude.
Yeah.
As much as it's, you know, we can lean into the tragedy of this, we can also embrace the love of the people that we have in our lives and find solace where we can. I know, Paul, that you have worked with police officers.
I have, this
is a hard day for so many who keep us safe every day.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you sit and think about all the hard work that they have and putting their lives on the lines every day as first responders. It makes you appreciate how hard a job they have in days like these.
And also, we have to, you know, also give credit to all the first responders on the scene, including the security guards at Mercy Hospital who were not armed, but all the police and firefighters who were there. And this is my fault as well. I should fail to mention that there was a police officer who had showed up, many units had showed up at that scene and weren't even called. They just all showed up to help at this one point. And one of the officers was shot, and what saved him was his gun. It was in his holster, and they're just showing these unbelievable images on Channel 9. So this is another officer who was hit by, there's just this spray of bullets coming to say, you know, not even in that district, saying, hey, I'm here to help. What do you guys need? He gets shot. The bullet gets lodged in his gun. So you can see where the bullet was fired from the suspect, from the gunman who eventually died, and how this officer was saved.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
I can't, again, I mean, so many elements of this we can't even wrap our minds around. You know, wrong place, wrong time for some people. Overwhelming tragedy is it will continue to be something that we think about for days. And I know, Paul, you know, we've talked about relationships. We talked about, you know, what are the warning signs, I think, is one of the things that I think will be worthwhile conversation. Because you've mentioned that there are people, I mean, just asking for help.
Yeah. I mean, like I said before, I mean, sometimes there are warning signs and sometimes there really isn't.
That's the thing, too. Right. That's the hard. Sometimes that's hard, is the why may never be answered.
Right.
Right?
It's very true, because when
it's emotionally triggered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when Superintendent Johnson gave this news conference tonight, one of the questions was, did this shooter have any prior history or anything? And he said, not that we know of at this time. Now, who knows? It's so very early. It's just hours later. Something could come up overnight or in the morning, and we might find that completely different. But as of, you know, several hours after, the superintendent said that there were no priors.
We've also been talking a little bit about the idea of, you know, changing protection for those who work in ERs, the nurses and doctors. I know the state of Illinois recently passed legislation in the way we handle offenders who are violent towards our nurses and doctors. They're also, you know, we've been receiving messages from those who do work in hospitals. I agree 100% with your ER worker from earlier. This won't be solved by more guns or fewer guns or more cops or fewer cops or any other quick fix. It will only be solved by people respecting and appreciating one another, and that can't be legislated, and it won't happen overnight.
That's very true.
Mm-hmm.
That's very poetic.
Yeah. This is, I don't know how you build respect, right? I mean, that's something that is such a element, like a slippery thing to even grab, right, is that people demand respect. They want respect. And many times when you demand it, you don't then give it, right? And it's, we talk about how respect is earned. But I guess it also goes to kindness, right?
It does.
If someone doesn't respect you, because a lot of times we've talked about violence in neighborhoods in Chicago where there's a big concern about not being able to resolve conflicts. And that often comes out of, like, they disrespected me, they dissed me. You know, it's not being able to put things in perspective and go, what, why am I so angry about something?
Right.
You know, we all do that, whether it's lashing out at an ER nurse or lashing out at a cashier. I don't know. I wonder if people who get that angry that often, because it does, you've seen it. You know, I've worked in retail.
Sure.
You've seen people, and I'm sure that there are days when, you know, we're supposed to say the customer is always right. But you don't you sometimes wonder, like, why is this person so angry?
Right.
And you just want to give, you like, you just want to say, hey, you know, take a breath. And that's for me too. Like right. when I feel myself spiraling and getting unreasonable about something, I'm like, what am I actually mad about?
Right. That's a great point.
It's hard. I mean, I've been on both sides of it. You know, I can think of just like the last time I got mad is just waiting at the bank for someone. Mm-hmm. They're just talking and talking. And you're like, some of us are illegally parked right now. And like, right. We need to get going.
That, you're mad at yourself for parking right. illegally. Well, you're not
I'm also mad at them to have a social call when there's like a line of people.
You're right. Mad at yourself for parking illegally.
I'm mad at both sides. But yes, you're right. But then you think about it at the end is when you get back and there's no ticket. You're like, okay, was that really worth it to get all
right? Changes your heart rate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with stress, Ryan? What do you do to calm? Like, is it listening to music? Is it taking a breath?
Yeah, or playing music.
Playing music. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Find ways to relieve that stress.
But it's funny because as you talk about that, I, you know, in my business, I'm usually not the first person to talk to that angry person. I'm usually the last person.
I want to see a manager.
And so,
that's right.
So I and you know, you mentioned before, I calm you when I walk in. That's kind of what I have to do, right? And sometimes I'll just say, you can't really be mad about that. Like, what's really going on? Like, what do we got to do to make you happy? And unfortunately, we live in this society where nobody takes time for that. Like, everything's got to be really fast. And you know, I don't have a good answer.
I will say this. My husband always gets nervous when I say, can I see your manager? Because he doesn't know which way it's going to break. But I'm also one of those people that asks to see a manager to give a compliment. Because I want to make sure that you know, and I've messaged
That's
you
good.
when I was at the House of Blues, we had an incredible server,
yep.
And I was like, I couldn't remember her name. I was like going through, I'm like, I don't know, she got blonde hair. She got,
cause it was funny back and forth. We're like, was she wearing a scarf? Did she have
exactly.
glasses? What was she?
I felt so badly.
Oh my God, I will always try and do that. I just bought a pair of eyeglasses the other day, and the girl was so nice, and you know, she was just looking. I finally bought the glasses, then I went up to her manager. I said, is this your manager? She said, yeah. I said, she just went above and beyond, you
right.
know? Right. And the manager was like stunned. She's like, oh, is that all? She thought I was going to say something like, oh, she wasn't attentive. I said, no, she was fantastic, you know. Can you give her a raise?
Yeah, they get very managers don't know how to respond.
Stunned that it was a huge compliment.
I travel a lot for work, so I stay at a lot of hotels. And hotel service sometimes can be pretty lousy. But I was with my family on a trip a couple of weeks ago, and the service was fantastic. Everybody at the front desk was great. The cocktail server in the lounge was fantastic. And the hotel sends me a text, and they're like, hey, just want to make sure how's your stay? And I was like, you know what? Your staff is like fantastic. They're on top of it. I stayed a lot of places where it's not, and these guys were fantastic. So I try to do the same thing.
Yeah.
But I probably need to be better at going out of my way for it. Like, I probably wouldn't have told them that if they hadn't texted me.
Right.
I would say, you know, if there's something, you know, if you want to find ways to be kind.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's like once a day or, you know, asking to a manager to tell them how good somebody is or to let somebody get into traffic when you don't want to. They're just trying to merge. Just go ahead and give them the space. Just that little thing. Yes,
that was. That was my resolution for 2018 is to every day remove a negative item that's in my life that I had control over.
Right.
But I ran out of negative things, so I made it into a positive. So I would do something positive for something, whether it's just a nice message at a show, messaging another comedian saying, hey, you had a great set,
right.
or whatever. Something positive every day. And it's gone. It's made me a lot calmer.
I
still got mad at the bank, but other than
aside from that, don't you find that though that goes such a long way? Like just even a text or an email. Like Domati sent me a text the other day just to compliment, and I thought that is so cool. I mean, you know, he's a young guy; he's got 1,000 things going on, and just one little text, I think,
positive energy,
just positive energy.
You don't know the impact something can make on somebody's life.
Yeah,
just.
So the 312 says they're confused about the connection between retail service and the shootings. Well, I've been getting messages from those who work in hospitals and ER rooms and the way that they're treated by patients, and they often feel like punching bags. And this isn't isolated to just this moment. It is the safety of those who work in situations where tempers can you know, elevate. This situation we think was related to a domestic violence situation or domestic incident. And we're just having a conversation about how can we find kindness. We don't have any answers for why this happened tonight, how it could have been stopped, or any of those things. So we're having a conversation about respect, about kindness. And I do think it pertains to the situation. And of course, the people that we want to thank today are those who are in the medical profession and the job that they do. And tonight we also mourn with the Chicago Police Department. We have a text from the 847. I just want to say thank you. I'm a police officer, and obviously I'm hurting right now, not just for my brother, but the other victims. I would have given anything to be there just to help. Thank you for the loving Chicago. Thank you for loving Chicago and being there for all of us. So 312, that's why we're having the conversation about how we treat each other and how it can have an effect. You never know when something like this, and it doesn't mean it's going to prevent it. It means that, you know, it can have a ripple effect. It can have a chain effect.
Right. And look at also, too, all the police officers, everybody who showed up at this scene. This is, you know, and Ryan and I alluded to this earlier tonight. This is in District 1. This is in District 1. Yet you had all these officers from District 2 showing up. And actually, Officer Jimenez was in District 2.
Yeah, he was a second district officer.
Just showing up for a call that wasn't even theirs, but then immediately, boom, showing up. And the ER doctors and the nurses and the unarmed security guards and everybody who was trying to jump in and help and save other people, you know. So again, horrible for the loss of the three lives.
Yeah, so many texts and calls coming in. Again, we're talking about because there were nurses and doctors who were messaging us about how much abuse they experience. And because I don't have that experience, I do have experience with people being irate in a one-on-one situation when it comes to working in retail. And there have been times where I remember working in retail and thinking, is this how it goes down? Because you just don't know when something's going to happen. Hey, Mindy, what do you want to say?
Hi there. I just want to say I work retail. And you know what? There's good and bad, like, every day. It doesn't even have to be this time of year. This time of year is, I guess, worse because of the holidays and a lot of theft and things that go on. But there's a lot of good, too.
Of course.
I don't know. I just wanted to chime in and just say that I know everyone's talking about all the bad things, but I work for, like I said, a retail, and we have people, customers paying for other customers' stuff, and you know, and that you have people wanting to call the police on you, so it's crazy.
It is. Well, and that's the thing. And again, we were talking a little bit about, you know, the experiences of medical professionals, and I'm sure that they have incredibly heartwarming stories about wonderful people, too.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. Thank you so much, Mindy. Have a great night. Thank you. Taxi driver Bob wanted to say something. Hey, taxi driver Bob, how are you doing? Oops, sorry.
I'm doing a lot better. I had a wound on my leg where I had an incision down to my bone. And it was like an abscess with cellulitis for my leg. And I was in rehab for close to 2 months, basically like a nursing home setting. And it was pretty, I went through a lot of brutal stuff, and I'm still going through a considerable amount of pain. But I always wanted to show appreciation to all the people in the healthcare industry. There was a woman at the rehab place that I was at by the name of Sylvia that she would tend to my wound every day. And, you know, I just really appreciate it because that's not one of the jobs that if I was to go into healthcare, want to be tending to people's wounds, because they could be kind of like really pretty disgusting to look at and queasy to look at. My best friend was in there after I had the surgery, and he took a picture of my wound, and you could see down to the bone. He says, "Hey, do you want to look at this on my phone?" I says, "Heck no! Why would I want to be doing that? I want to look at my leg when it's healed up. Sure. I don't want to see it any other time, but when it's healed up." So I don't know, after going through a health situation, you have a tendency to really appreciate things more when you've gone through something that's kind of extreme in the health thing. And just to, like you were talking about, just being kind to people, trying to brighten people's days up, because there's so many people that are negative, and it's tough to go through everyday life. And if you could bring some glimmer of happiness to somebody by the way you treat them, and that's part of the service industry I'm in, driving a taxi, you know, that's I think where where, you know, I could really be able to get more people to be calling cabs is by giving really good customer service to people.
Right.
It has
a ripple effect on the industry.
Absolutely. You have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you
so much.
Both
of you out there, and don't eat too much turkey there.
All right, I won't. Thanks, Bob. Taxi driver Bob. Glad you're doing better. Good to hear your voice. And to the question about from the listener who was like, well, I don't understand what this has to do with anything. Well, again, it has to do with hopefully spreading kindness. But also, we don't know when and where. Here's another listener from the 708 says, we just had to watch a video on what to do in the case of an active shooter. So no matter where you are, we are now all taking this into consideration and trying to, I mean, I know that we've done the drills here.
Yeah, and Mercy Hospital had just done their active shooter drill last week. Last month.
And it sounds like there were a lot of people who acted quickly and quite possibly saved a lot of lives tonight.
Absolutely. And so I know funeral arrangements are obviously will be released within the next couple of days for the doctor and for the pharmaceutical technician and for the pharmacist and for the officer as well. So we'll bring those to you as soon as we get that information in the coming days.
There you go. Thank you so much for that, Andrea. And the 301 says, my feeling is that each of us has a choice to be someone who makes things better for our fellow human beings, or we can make it worse. Why would anyone choose to do the latter? More in a moment on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis, 720 WGN. After a tragic day, there is always, as I've said, you know, it's hard. I actually wondered if we should end on Tell Me Something Happy, right?
Yeah.
Come on, get happy. But we've always talked about how no matter what happens throughout the day, whether we're arguing, and in this case, after a tragic, heartbreaking day, there's always something that we can celebrate. And Trucker Rich wanted to join us. Hey, Trucker Rich, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, Patty. I'm on this side of the lawn, so after everything I've been through the last year, it's a good thing. I think I'm taking tomorrow night off, so I just wanted to call and say thank you to you, Andrea, Michael, for being very great overnight friends, and I wish you and your family a very happy and prosperous Thanksgiving, and just remember, Thanksgiving calories are free.
They're free?
There you go.
Oh, well, as long as you say they're free. Oh, my God, I have so much food, like, all over the studio. Amy Guth and Demeti Pongo are coming in, and I'm treating these. You know, Trucker Rich, can I have the whole week be a week of free calories? Is that okay? Does that work out?
Yep. Okay. Yes, you can.
All right.
You can just put them on me.
I'm calling the whole week. Here, if we can move the food so that Domati, you can move that out of that chair. Trucker Rich, by the way, everyone on the roads, please make way for all of... Just assume it's Trucker Rich. Just when you see a big semi, assume it's Trucker Rich and go, hey, this guy's got to be somewhere. He's got a job to do and he's keeping the country moving. So thank you so much, Trucker Rich.
Thank you, Patty. And like I say, you guys have a great Thanksgiving with your family and we'll talk to you in December.
Thanks, Rich.
Sounds good, our friend. Yeah. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. And from the, we were talking about, we were talking about being kind to each other. And when you are in a situation where people have their tempers are raised, the 630 says, I work as a retail merchandiser for a designer brand. I am sad and distressed at how the retail workers are treated every day by many customers. I watch these customers unfairly get mean and vicious with the men and women. It is not their fault that stores don't hire enough help. They try really hard to wait on people. Please take a breath and be kind. So that is the essence of what we were talking about. I mean, this can happen anywhere.
Absolutely, it
sounds as though the shooter snapped and nothing was important to him at that point.
No.
I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it, well, what he did makes no sense, but yes,
of
what
course.
You said makes perfect sense. I mean, at that point, nothing he did had any rhyme or reason to it.
He wasn't seeing human beings.
No,
he
not
was
at all.
His head was filled with rage, is what it seems. Hi, Amy.
Hello.
I know it's a different night than many of us had anticipated.
That's right.
What do you guys?
We changed course. That's what we do.
Yeah.
We did too.
Yeah. What's coming up? What conversation are you guys having tonight?
Well, we'll continue this conversation, of course. And we also have a friend of mine, Krishan Limpley, who has a company called Love Corkscrew. She's going to pour up some wines for us and talk about different holiday pairings that you can do with your wine.
I just want to say how much this station has changed. Like, I interviewed her a very long time ago on the air, and it was really kind of a conversation with management. Like, can I say Love Corkscrew? Like, can
really?
I say
oh,
that?
Wow,
and
wow.
It was like, well, can you say Love Cork
and then screw? Love Corkscrew?
Or can you say Love Corkscrew? Like, it was really a big conversation.
I like to think that I helped break down that door by being punished.
I like to think that you did.
By being punished for playing What's in the Box.
I'm not even going to ask what that meant.
Pioneering trailblazer spirit, Patty Vasquez.
Well, in the course of the Pretty Late Show, Andrea, we used to have a segment called The Midnight Tease was the first incarnation of it. And it was a little bit of an homage to Kathy and Judy and their frank and honest conversations about adult topics. And then we had a game called What's in the Box that has been banned by the station. So
we played it last year at New Year's Eve. Yeah,
yeah. I do the stage version of it now. So that's just not for family shows. Maybe some. You know what we should do? We should play What's in the Box someday at the House of Blues.
Let's book it.
That's what's missing from the House of Blues schedule.
Yeah, so I think we just figured it out.
Now we know. Well, Domati was telling Andrea the incredible job that everyone did here at WGN today covering the breaking news. I want to thank you so much for keeping us informed, Andrea.
Thank you.
Outstanding.
Thank you, Andrea. Thank you, Ryan.
Domati, great job. And hearts and prayers and thoughts to the entire Chicago Police Department and the families of the doctor and the pharmaceutical assistant, unfortunately, who died today. So we're thinking of all of you guys.
And I just want to say, you know, I'm grateful for all of you in my life. If nothing else, this day has shown us again how life can be fleeting. So thank you all so much.
Hug your loved ones.
Hug, well, except for Paul. He gets uncomfortable.
I don't like air hug. Have we ever hugged? I think we did on New Year's, probably.
Right. I'll be right back.
And the Cubs win.
That's right. Well, you were there. So
he remembers exactly when it happened. That's how you know it didn't.
Dear diary. I'm just thinking when it's appropriate. Yeah.
I also want to remind everyone who wants to participate in a great fundraising event for Jameson and enjoy great blues music at the House of Blues, 7 o'clock doors, and the show starts at 8 o'clock tomorrow night, Tuesday, November 20th. You can go to bluesbenefit.eventbrite.com, and it promises. Thank you so much, Ryan Shea, for joining us.
Thanks for letting me come in and talk about that a little bit.
Of course.
Tough night.
Our pleasure. Thank you so much for that.